Welcome to the Find Someone Who podcast, where two English teachers share their stories and experiences. I'm Annie.
I'm Lila.
So this is our episode zero. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited because we've been talking about doing a podcast for a long time.
Forever.
And today is the day.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Right. Because this is our episode zero, I think we could talk about why we want to do this podcast. Who are we? Mm-hmm. What do we want to achieve with this podcast?
Yes.
All right. So why do we want to do this podcast?
I think you and I have so much experience between the two of us. Yeah. Years of teaching. And we have so much to offer, I think, in terms of our perspectives. We have the backstories and the secrets of what worked and what doesn't. Mm. Also, we are both former language learners.
Right.
And so we have the perspective of not only being the teacher, but also of being the student, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just from that, right? Like being a language teacher who has learned the language. Mm. I think that offers a unique perspective. We also would like to connect with language learners or language teaching professionals through this podcast. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we're telling stories or sharing our experiences that are relevant, that are interesting to yes. our listeners.
And I think that's important because oftentimes we hear from our students, we get the sense that they're thirsty for something out there to watch or listen to that is not only relevant to them, but also interesting.
Right.
I'm hearing, I can't quite find a podcast that I can understand and find interesting at the same time.
So. Right. Yeah, I think that's why we decided not to do a English teaching podcast. We just want something that is easy, that students can listen to on their way to school or on their way home. And it's something that they could just, you know, practice their listening with.
Yeah, and also for the teaching community. Mm-hmm. You might hear stories that you can relate to. And we would love for you to connect with us and let us know if, you know, you've also had similar struggles or if you have some tricks in your bags that might work as well.
Yes.
Right? And so talking about connecting with our listeners and sharing, this podcast is kind of like an activity that we use in class called Find Someone Who.
Right.
Right? And so let's talk about this name that we've chosen. Why Find Someone Who?
When we were talking about starting a podcast together, of course, first thing is, what are we going to call it? And I remember going to ChatGPT, asking ChatGPT to come up with a whole bunch of names, right? And it was like, you know, behind the curtains with your teachers.
Right,
it just
right,
sounded
right.
almost dirty.
Oh, God.
I think you were the one that just said, how about find someone new?
Yeah, it was just over lunch. I was eating noodles by my lonesome self in a food court and we were texting and I was like, you know what? What about find someone who?
Right.
And you liked it. I liked it. And here we are.
I just thought, you know, it's relevant to what we do, right? When you get a new class of students, you run this Find Someone Who game. It's kind of like a bingo almost. Mm-hmm. And students have different prompts that they go and then they have to ask their classmates questions to find someone who has similar or different experiences from their own.
Right.
And then if they have similar experiences, usually we tell the students to learn each other's names mm-hmm. and ask a follow-up question to right. get to know each other. So we thought this would be a great name for our podcast for the purpose that we want to get to know our listeners and vice versa.
Yeah, it's an icebreaker type of game. And like you said, not just for teachers, right? I remember doing this when we have professional development activities.
I don't know. Maybe the listeners can tell us. If you work in corporate, for example, do you guys play the game Find Someone Who?
Right.
So because you and I started this podcast, our listeners might want to know who we are. First and foremost, we are colleagues. We've been working together for 14 years.
Yep, a lifetime ago, I remember you walking into the office. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I was shocked by how tall you were.
I was going to say.
Still, you're still tall. But also, your skin is so nice.
14 years ago.
No. You have not aged, and I hate you for that. You have clear, glowing skin, not a wrinkle. But that's the good stuff that I noticed about you.
Uh-oh. And here it comes.
The sandwich. No. When I first met you, I did not like
I don't see how.
I know, you're just so likable. But all I remember hearing was this loud Asian woman talking about her linguistics background and her managerial positions in her former jobs. And I was just like, enough already. I don't like this bitch.
Well, but the thing is, from my perspective, because I was the newbie, right?
Right.
And when you are new in a place, you meet different people. And every time you meet a new person, you have to repeatedly introduce yourself. And what can I talk about? I could talk about
your skin.
No, but I could talk about, you know, what I studied at school and also.
No, I get it. I get it.
Where but, I worked before.
But I don't know. I didn't like you. I just didn't like you until we had lunch in the same lunchroom one day and I heard you swearing. And then I was like, hang on now, I can learn to like her. She can be part of my village. And from there, I think we just became friends very quickly.
Over swearing.
Over swearing. Right? And you and I both know that we don't hold back when it comes to
no, we don't.
Our colorful language.
No. And this is something that the listeners need to know. As far as I'm concerned, when we are recording this podcast, we're not working.
No.
Right? So you are going to hear a little bit of, well, a little bit. You're going to hear some swearing. We're not going to censor ourselves.
No. I think of swearing like the seasoning in a dish. We're going to sprinkle it just to give you a little bit of flavor. Anyways, back to us.
Yes.
We are now friends.
Yes.
We went from colleagues to friends and...
Thank you for accepting me, by the way. Into your village.
You permeated that circle. And then I think we had our second children around the same time.
Yes.
Right? We're waddling around in the hallways. And then I really enjoy being your partner teacher as well. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I feel like we are good dance partners. And when we are working together with people, right? To me, it is like a dance.
Yes.
And we work really well with one another. And our students, I think they do enjoy our craziness because I notice that our lessons jive in a way that it's quite seamless. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm so happy that we're doing this, but I'm more happy that we've been friends for this long. And hopefully after this podcast, we don't divorce each other.
You're right. Maybe you'll decide, you know, oh my God, what the hell?
Back to hating this bitch.
Exactly. So let's do a little self-introduction, shall we? I grew up in Taiwan, went through formal education mostly in Taiwan, and I taught English for a few years, realized that it wasn't enough. And that was when I decided that I was going to go back to school to actually learn how to teach a second language. So I came to Canada when I was 22, went to UBC, and decided to stay in Canada and work. What about you?
I am from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I was born there, lived there for 3 years. We escaped communism, hopped on a boat, went into the dark ocean, landed in Hong Kong detention camp.
I'm going to interrupt you here because I know there's a story right there in the dark ocean. But, you know, we're going to leave that for another episode.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on. So you got to Hong Kong.
Got to Hong Kong, stayed there for 3 years, came over to Canada as a refugee, and started school right away in ESL.
Okay.
6 years old, and then later found my way through UBC as well and discovered teaching. Here we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were both educated outside of Canada, right? So what would you say that's different in your classroom outside of Canada and the classrooms that we have today?
Today, we teach adults.
Right.
We
don't teach children.
No, we don't teach children. You know, our students come from all corners of the world, right? Mm-hmm. Super multicultural, mixed ages, genders, experiences. Yeah. And I mean, they're here because they want to either, you know, pursue
higher education,
improve their career prospects, or just learn English because they're new here.
Yeah.
In my very first classroom, which was in an abandoned school bus in Hong Kong detention camp, run by a group of nuns from Taiwan, which I found out only recently because I wanted to confirm with my mom, right? I'm like, were there nuns? Were they volunteering? And she's like, yeah, they were from Taiwan. I was like, no.
We are meant to be friends.
I know.
And to do this podcast together.
Totally. I got goosebumps talking about it right now.
Yeah,
but super strict. Yeah. Right? A lot of route memorization and not allowed to leave your nails long, paint them, have dirty hands.
Right.
Because if you did, they would hit you.
Okay. Right? Yes. That was when physical punishment was okay.
Yeah. I mean, talking about the students, right? We were all very young. We were children, mixed ages, zero education background, poor, hungry, you know, had very little. Right?
Yeah.
So my first formal introduction into studying was very different, obviously, than what our students are experiencing now.
Right.
Right. What about you?
Well, I grew up in Taiwan, so I had a classroom with tables and chairs.
So spoiled.
I had my own pencil case with all kinds of different pencils.
Oh my God. See, we didn't even have pencils. Literally, our homes were one level of a wooden bunk bed in a huge metal dome. And we rolled out of bed into this empty school bus. For me, I was super excited about
going to school.
Going to school, but not to learn. More so because I wanted to use the colored markers. Because I had never seen so many colors.
I see.
Right? Yeah.
So elementary school, high school, English classes were, we started officially at 13, first year in junior high. But a lot of kids started actually earlier.
Okay.
I remember when I was 6 years old, going to a traditional Japanese style house.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And there was a teacher there. She was a Caucasian older lady.
Okay.
She was actually called Mother Goose. Mama. So if you're from Taiwan and if you are around my age, you might remember her. She was probably one of the pioneers.
Oh.
Foreigners that started teaching English in Taiwan.
Oh, interesting.
So we went there. I was six and she was teaching children. And that's how I got my name, Annie.
Oh, so
interesting. She gave me the name. Yeah. I liked her. My memory of her, not so much of what I learned, you know, in terms of English, but I remember her house always smelled like cookies. Fast forward to first year in junior high. Well, actually, first year in junior high, the English class was okay. I actually won a speaking contest.
Ooh, look at you.
It was memorized.
Still?
It was memorized, but then I did it in the assembly in front of everybody, and then I won something. I don't remember what exactly I won, but I won a piece of paper that said I won. So that was that. And then throughout junior high school, English classes just became more and more boring. And I lost interest in the classes, but I was learning on my own because of 80s music.
Oh, okay.
Around that time, Taiwan martial laws were lifted. Mm-hmm. So a lot of foreign entertainment, you know, movies, McDonald's, 80s music came in, right? I was lucky to be in that generation where, you know, our eyes were just open wide to things that were totally different.
Isn't that funny? Because here I am talking about how your pencil case was a luxury and all I wanted were these colored markers.
Right.
And yet at the same time, around the 80s, I had all of this music available to me.
Yes.
I knew every lyric in that Madonna album.
Me too.
You know? But then for you, that was something new.
Yes.
You know? So our experiences were kind of like the opposite.
They're parallel, but totally different, yes, you know?
Yes, our access to things.
Yeah. You know, remember those cassette tapes?
Yes.
And the cover of the cassette tape on the back were like, I don't know, 0.0 font.
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny, tiny words of all the lyrics, right? So my best friend and I would look up words we didn't know. First, we tried to understand the meaning of the song, and then we would just practice repeatedly to be able to sing in time with the tape.
That's awesome.
Little did we know, in doing that, we helped ourselves with our pronunciation.
Well, you know, that's how a lot of our students learn English, right? Through movies and through music, right? Yeah, it's a universal language, really, music.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Now, you talked about Mother Goose, was it, or yes. Goose Mama, what was she?
Yes, my very first English teacher.
Your very first English teacher. So, in a sense, did you decide then that you wanted to teach, like...
At 6 years old?
No, no. not in Mother Goose's class, but like, you know, through your experience, you know, you had teachers. Some were good, some were not.
Right.
Did that somehow sort of pave your path to, like, what I want to know is, did teaching choose you or did you choose teaching?
I chose teaching.
Okay.
It was very clear. Mm. So when I was in junior high school, classes were boring. All my attention was on the 80s music and trying to be cool.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like most teenagers.
Right.
But I also went to a cram school. In Taiwan, a lot of students do this. So I went to a cram school, and then there I met an English teacher. He somehow was able to teach grammar in a very fun and interesting way.
Oh, wow.
And I remember thinking, oh, I don't dislike English here, right? So one day he was talking about the different kinds of adjective clauses.
Fun. I don't say that sarcasm. I mean, most people might have sensed sarcasm, but you and I both actually love grammar.
I love
grammar. Right?
Hey, I studied linguistics.
Right. Do remind us.
I'm going to say it again. So much fun. But anyways, yeah, so he was teaching us the different kinds of adjective clauses. Mm. And back then, I remember struggling to understand the concept of describing the noun after the noun.
Because in Mandarin, do you do that?
I don't think so. I think in Mandarin, you would put as much description as you want in front of the noun, and you don't have a clause afterwards to come back to the noun.
Right.
So anyway, it was really hard to understand. And he was explaining, you know, we were sitting in that classroom with the fluorescent light, right? Mm-hmm. And it was nighttime. I just remember suddenly the lights became blinding, just like flashing in front of me, and I got it.
That's amazing.
It's like a eureka moment, I guess, right? Yes. So that was my experience with English. It's like, you know, someone just turned the lights on in my head, and then suddenly I'm like, aha, I got it. And I don't remember what happened afterwards. That was when I was 16.
Right.
That summer, my summer job was working at a McDonald's near my house. There's a special day. on that day, I was flipping burgers.
Okay.
All of a sudden, there was a lot of commotion going on in the front. Everybody was like in a panic almost. And then the manager came in to the kitchen. She said, "Can anybody speak English?"
Okay.
And I peeked out to the lobby, and then I saw a Caucasian man.
Uh-huh.
In my memory, I don't know, he may not be this, but he was tall. Walking towards the counter, right? I don't know why, I just raised my hand and I was like, "I'll do it."
Oh, wow.
So I went over to the counter. I took his order.
Yep.
Don't remember what I said. Everything went well. I finished my shift. And as I was walking home that day, I felt like I was walking on clouds. And then I thought, you know, if I could do that, why am I staying at McDonald's?
Flipping burgers in the back.
Making minimal wages, right? And just then, I saw a children's English center.
Oh, my God. It's like a drama unfolding.
And what did I do?
You walked in?
I walked in. I went in there and then I said, "Hi, can I get some kind of a job here?"
Wow. Right?
I didn't care what kind of job. I knew I couldn't be teaching,
right?
I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
But I just said, "Is there a job for me?" And so they hired me as this telephone teacher. So kids would have their regular classes, and then when they finish their classes, they go home. The telephone teacher will call them.
Okay.
To review what they had learned that day.
That is very interesting. Wow. Imagine if our kids got a phone call, you know, to review trigonometry or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
No. So I would have the attendance list with phone numbers and the teacher's lesson plan from the previous class.
Oh, okay.
So I got to see what was taught in the class, from what page to what page, right? Uh-huh. And then the teachers could actually write notes to say, you know, oh, while the kids were in class, they kind of struggled with this part. Can you focus on reviewing this part with them?
What an excellent way for you to sort of see what a lesson plan is and how one would teach that lesson plan. Amazing.
I know. I remember actually later on, like I worked at that job for a bit, right? Mm-hmm. When I became familiar with the classes and what they taught, I would have opinions about a teacher's plan.
Of course.
I'd be like, I wouldn't do it in this order. So I guess I kind of indirectly learned.
Right. Yeah.
So again, it was a weekend. It was a Saturday morning and I was just in that designated classroom for the telephone teachers to be in.
Right.
There were four of us. And then the manager came in. She said, which of you can go in and sub this morning for 2 hours? I looked around, like I looked at the other three and they all like, you know, had their heads down. So again, I raised my hand and I was like, I'll do it.
Well, you're just a firefighter putting out fires for anybody who needed help in English.
You know what? I'm actually very introverted. I'm not a outgoing person by nature.
I was just going to say, me too. Literally.
You know what? Our students or even our other colleagues would totally.
They would disagree. Like, yeah. But no, because literally only a day ago, I was telling my students, I am very quiet outside of this classroom. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm talking so much to you is because I'm getting paid. Joking, but not joking. Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, but, you know, like in both situations, right? Like at McDonald's and here in this Children's English Center. I don't know. Maybe I have that firefighter personality or I feel like I need to.
Well, you know, you can be introverted, but still very brave and capable, right?
Yeah, I guess another thing is in many situations, I very often have a little voice that says, what's the worst that can happen?
I love it. I am the opposite.
Oh,
I'm always you're going to die. Just so you know, today's your last day on earth. Make the most of it.
I guess because I had nothing to lose, right?
Right.
So I went in there. Now, I was already semi-familiar with the curriculum.
Right.
I walked into the class. I sang with the kids. We chanted the grammar points or whatever. I had a great time those 2 hours. I remember walking out of the classroom and the kids walking away from me laughing and saying goodbye to me.
Aww.
And they had a great time. My smile was ear to ear. So I finished my shift walking home. And that was when I decided I'm going to teach English. I made it a goal.
That's awesome.
I believe I can revolutionize English teaching in Taiwan.
I bet you did for some of those kids, right?
I hope so, because they did ask the manager who that teacher was, and then they wanted to sign up for that teacher's class, right?
Wow.
But they couldn't because I wasn't officially supposed to be teaching.
Right.
So, my manager promptly fired me. They can't have me hanging around.
Right,
they can't
have
the kids see me, right? So they were like, sorry, but you gotta go.
Yeah.
I got another job anyways.
That's a great story.
But I wanted to make learning English fun. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, that was my purpose. You know how like Oprah Winfrey says, you know, you got to find your calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that was my calling. So I stayed in teaching children English for a few years afterwards. I even changed my name at one point from Annie to Catherine.
Okay.
And the reason that I used a alias, I guess, Catherine, was because the TH sound is very hard for Taiwanese students to pronounce.
Yes, yes.
It's all about muscle memory. So I thought, how can I create a situation where they have to do that all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So I changed my name to Catherine.
Oh my my God.
And my kids learned how to say Catherine without saying like Catherine or whatever, right?
Right.
They learned how to say at least the voiceless TH sound perfectly.
You see, that's just an example of how invested you are, right? And how creative also. Change your whole damn name just to like... You know, get rid of those muscle memory.
Can you imagine maybe some of the kids that I taught back then are adults now? Yeah. And then if they're listening to this podcast, they're like,
she's a fraud.
Wait a minute. I had a teacher named Catherine and I remember her saying we have to call her Catherine.
Well, I hope they hear this. Yeah, I hope so. The things your teacher did for you.
And you better be speaking English well now. Yeah.
I'm the opposite of you. I did not choose teaching.
Surprise, surprise.
I had never, ever wanted to be around people. Like we said, I'm an introvert by nature. And, you know, when I told people that I was going into teaching, they all gasped. They're like, I'm going to feel so sorry for your future students. I'm not a very patient person. Mm. Yeah, I didn't have the composure. I didn't have the demeanor one would think is ideal for teaching. But after UBC, I became a settlement counselor. And it just so happened one summer, a group of newcomers didn't know what to do with their kids. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, we want them to
do something,
but also, you know, learn a little bit of English.
Right.
And so I volunteered. I'm like, I'll do it. I have nothing to do. And I really, really enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
Like you, the children also enjoyed their experience with me. I didn't sing, I didn't dance, but you know, we did creative activities in class. And for a lot of them, it was their first experience, you know, learning.
Oh, I was going to say to use the color pencil.
No, most of them were quite well off. No, and so that after that summer, I decided that I really enjoyed this. It was very rewarding for me, hopefully rewarding for the students as well. And I went back to school.
Okay.
Got
to learn how to teach.
Learn how to teach. And I veered away from teaching children. And then I decided to go into adult education.
Okay.
And here we are.
So let's backtrack a little bit, because I was thinking when you said after UBC, you became a settlement counselor, right? I'm just wondering if it has something to do with your own background as refugees.
I think I've always had a connection with the Asian community through my parents, through friends and whatnot. Yeah. And growing up, I was all like at the age of six, I was already negotiating car prices and rental agreements for my parents.
Oh, because you could speak English.
Broken English, right? Okay. I was an ESL student.
But your English was better than your parents.
My parents,
right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I knew the struggles that a refugee family, an immigrant family had to face. And so in the back of my mind, and actually throughout my life, my parents have always volunteered me. To be the translator or the
spokesperson.
Exactly. For the Vietnamese Chinese community in Winnipeg. That's where I'm from. And so, yes, I've always wanted to work in a certain capacity to help newcomers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I found myself doing settlement work and then volunteering. And here I am.
There is just so much that we need to talk about, but I think we're running out of time for this episode. I think it's probably a good place for us to stop for EP Zero. Be sure to tune in next week for our EP 0.5.
If you like this podcast, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends about it. You could also follow us on social media. If you have any questions or suggestions on topics that you would like us to talk about, please email us. We'll have all the links in the episode notes.
And be sure to tune in for our next episode.